So, for the last, I don't know, year and a half or so, we've been on the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus' famous sermon, and we're in Matthew chapter 7, the final chapter of this sermon. And I don't know about you, but this has been a good year and a half for me. So, there is part of me that's like, man, we're almost finally through this. But there's a big part of me that's gotten so much, it's been so good for my soul. And Brian has reminded us something each week of this final series that we're in that I need to start with today. And he said, everything, everybody say everything.
Everything.
That's a big word. Everything depends on disciples who learn from Jesus how to love like Jesus and live as Jesus. Such disciples resist a culture of division and judgment since we cannot love and judge others at the same time. Everything depends on disciples who will live and love like Jesus. The love, the cruciform love, like we've talked about the last several weeks, it's the love that ascribes worth to another at the cost of oneself. And Scripture reminds us so often that this Jesus-looking love is the truest mark of us as disciples. So if you say, I'm a follower of Jesus, that's the truest looking thing about who you are as a follower. So each day we're confronted with a choice. We love or we judge. And when we choose to judge another person, we join the accuser to prove them unworthy, us worthy. But when we choose to love, we see them through the lens of the cross where Jesus declares that all people have unsurpassable worth. Man, that's a great starter for today. Could almost just end there and say, all right, let's go do that. We're not going to. As many of you know, Heather and I have three boys, 6, 11, and 14. And one of the things that we're working on, especially with Weston, our 6-year-old, and really we're kind of working on it with all of us in our house, but especially Weston, this seems to be the most prominent, is sometimes the boys, they'll head out, they'll go downstairs or wherever, they'll be playing, and sometimes you think if, you know, you've said this, ooh, if it's too quiet, there must be something wrong. Not in our house, we're like, hey, if it's quiet, that's cool, let's just leave it alone. Most of the time, what will happen is we'll hear Weston all of a sudden, some sort of frustration out of him. And then usually what we do is try to let them figure it out, just let them figure it out on their own. Sometimes that goes well, sometimes it doesn't. But other times, I know that I'm going to have to step in. I'm going to have to try to help bring clarity to this situation, diffuse whatever's going on. Sometimes that goes well. Sometimes that doesn't either. But the biggest gap for Weston in resolving these moments is getting him to admit any fault in these situations. He always wants to reciprocate it, push it back to his brothers. He says things like, he did this, so that's why I did this. Obviously, what I did isn't bad. It's all because of what he did. He did this, so I did that. Eventually, I try to bring some sort of mutual ownership, apologies, and move on. But so often, Weston just can't let things go. He just wants to keep reciprocating, reciprocating, reciprocating. And then finally, I have to explain a few things to him so he knows why the next thing's going to happen. He goes to his room so he can cool down. And then when he's ready to have a conversation that's not just about reciprocation, then he comes back and has a conversation with us. He just can't let go of the anger. He feels like there's some sort of injustice, and he's got to constantly prove his point. Now, again, this is a 6-year-old, but I see this same thing play out in a 46-year-old, me, 26-year-old, Heather. She wishes, right? Just kidding. Sorry. 66-year-olds, We see this play out in us every day, like all of us are, babe. All of us can say we understand this. This is why I think this is such good news today. Listen to this good news. The culture teaches us to respond to judgment with judgment in a never-ending cycle, fueling more and more anger and hate. Jesus invites us to the slow burn of love that's kindled by a commitment to remain in love even in the midst of judgment. Man, that's good news. So we're going to look at Matthew chapter 7, 1 through 5 again today. He says, don't judge so that you won't be judged. You'll receive the same judgment you give, whatever you deal out will be dealt out to you. Why do you see the splinter that's in your brother or sister's eye, but don't notice the log in your own eye? How can you say to your brother or sister, let me take the splinter out of your eye when there's a log in your eye? You deceive yourself. First, take the log out of your eye, and then you'll see clearly to take the splinter out of your brother and sister's eye. So one thing we know for sure, judgment exists in the world, right? We've established that early on. You do it. I do it. Everybody does it. And here's something else we can agree on. We're on the receiving end of judgment at times in the world, right? We've talked about don't judge others, but how about when other people judge me? I love that. Anybody love that? Love it when people judge me. I think that's why when people judge us, we tend to respond judgment with judgment. Because like Weston, we want to reciprocate. We want to give it right back, right? This is what you did to me. That's what I'm going to do to you. Eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. Listen, it's why we can't respond that way, because judgment perpetuates more judgment. It's a cycle. Jesus says, don't judge so that you won't be judged. You'll receive the same judgment you give. Whatever you deal out will be dealt out to you. It's a vicious cycle that's going to continue to go and go and go. And we live in a culture that at some point you're going to be judged. And the easiest response, the easiest one, I guarantee you for you, is just to respond in judgment. It's the very easiest thing to do. Because judgment doesn't require much thinking or reasoning. We can just kind of automatically judge somebody without spending any time to like try to understand or get to know somebody's situation. Because to understand is harder. It requires deep thinking. It requires patience, compassion. And man, it might even require, you guys ready for this one? An open mind. What? Why does that seem so hard? Because we have this ugly desire to be right, to be better than, to be superior to. So we tend to judge, and often we find a way to judge somebody else to make us feel better or right or superior. And our current culture is ripe with this, pushes this. Judgment, trying to keep things stirred up. And you'll see it happen. You'll see it happen on social media. One person will see something, they're like, can you believe that? And they'll share it, and then they get stirred up, and everybody else gets stirred up. You got to be stirred up. We constantly have to stir things up. Our culture preys on this idea that judgment perpetuates more judgment. So if responding to judgment just creates more judgment, then how in the world are we supposed to respond? You guys probably already know this. Jesus proposes with love. Love breaks the cycle of judgment. And I think we get this idea. Like, when I say that, I think all of us would be like, yep, that's what does it. But I think sometimes we don't have an imagination. Like, what does that actually look like? We have an imagination of what it looks like not to judge, I think, because as far as just judgment, because I think we all know when we're judging. I think there's a time, or at least this moment in time, where we kind of catch it. We know when we get frustrated at something, when we get offended by something. We know when we're angered by something. And judgment's getting ready to come. And by the way, anger is okay. So I want to say that anger can be a good thing. I'll just lean in and say it's a good thing. I'm saying anger is a natural emotion that we're hardwired with. It can be a great indicator of something. There's some things in our culture that probably should make us angry. Injustices, abuse, murder. There's things that happen to other people that inside of us probably should well up in anger. The difference is we don't respond in anger. So when we see something that is responding to us that feels like judgment to us, or that feels like something that is coming at us and we get angry, we don't respond to it with anger. It's a thing to say, man, why am I angry about that? What does that look like? What can I do to maybe help solve that or to help push back against that darkness? But we have to make sure that anger isn't fueling a solution or a problem. Because if we let anger be the fuel, we'll get it wrong every single time. every time, because it'll be about revenge, it'll be about retaliation, it'll be about keeping that going, reciprocation. It's oftentimes our own perception about how we want to solve the problem out of anger. Like, you know what? They deserve what they're getting. Eye for an eye. That's what they should get. You know how I think this needs to be solved? That's what happens when we let anger do that. More judgment just continues the injustice. It continues the anger. It continues more judgment. Love breaks the cycle, the judgment cycle. So one way to imagine this, I think that might help you to imagine what it looks like to surrender this, or when you see it happening, a way that you might see that love is your motivator is when you become unoffendable. Everybody say unoffendable. I know some of you are going, is that even a word? I don't think it is, actually. But I love what it communicates, okay? If it's not a word, it probably doesn't have a meaning. But I do love what it communicates, okay? Because I think that we are so easily offended. Some of you are offended by the fact that I even said that right now, right? We're so easily offended. And when we're offended, you know what we often do? Immediately go on the defense. And then we go on the offense to offend the person who offended us. You see the cycle of that? We get offended so easily. What would it look like to be unoffendable? If all of a sudden judgment happened to you and you were unoffendable, I think that'd be a great indicator of like, man, I think that's a way that I'm actually seeing I'm responding in love. Like my immediate response is, I'm unoffendable, not offended. Jesus speaks to this in Matthew 24. He says, at that time, many will fall away. They'll betray each other. Some versions say offend each other and hate each other. Many false prophets will appear and deceive many people because disobedience will expand. Listen to this. The love of many will grow cold. The very thing that identifies us with Jesus, as followers of Jesus, will begin to fade away. When we're not unoffendable, when we're constantly taking offense, when we're offending back other people. So what does it look like to be unoffendable? How in the world do we do that? I love what Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 23. He's describing Jesus during the crucifixion and how Jesus responds to the humiliation that's going on here. Says, when Jesus was insulted, he did not reply with insults. When he suffered, he did not threaten revenge. Instead, he entrusted himself to the one who judges justifiably. Even Jesus, at his most vulnerable moment in his human suffering, trusted the Father, refused the very human temptation to judge. You know what he was? Unoffendable. Unoffendable. The culture teaches us to respond to judgment with judgment in a never-ending cycle, fueling more and more anger and hate. Jesus invites us to the slow burn of love that's kindled by a commitment to remain in love even in the midst of judgment. When we surrender to love, the judgment of others loses its control over us. That's what happens. So when we continually realize that we get our life, our significance, our value, when we get that from Christ, our unsurpassable love is in him, we're not harmed by the judgment of others. We can truly become unoffendable. It's like a superpower. Unoffendable. If you start being unoffendable, you might be going, you know what? I think I'm responding to judgment with love. It's a great way to say this is a great indicator of how my heart is showing up. We can become unoffendable, and we can become unoffendable without becoming apathetic, without just stop caring about things. We're not saying like just to go numb and do that. Don't pretend like others, oh, they're just not judging me. I guess that's not what's happening. You actually become more aware that other people are judging you, and you're choosing to lean into the undefendable patterns of love in your heart. That's what you're doing because you're no longer controlled by judgment of others. God wants us to burn with a different type of fire than the culture is telling us to burn with. And it's love. That's what it is. Not to grow cold, not to grow weak, but to lean into this incredible fire of love. It's the thing that really changes things. Peter says, above all, show sincere love to each other, because love brings about the forgiveness of many sins. I'm also not saying that we don't pretend that bad things aren't going on in the world. Don't stick our head in the sand and we just got to love. That's what we got to do. A lot of times people think if we're talking about love, we're just talking about ignoring all the problems in the world. There's a bunch of bad things going on in the world. There's a lot of injustices that mess me up inside and that frustrate me and that anger me at times. Things that I want to push back against, things that I want to write right now, that a lot of times when I'm doing that, I'm responding out of anger versus slowing down and saying, what does that mean for me? What does that look like for us as a church? What does that look like for Christians across the nation and across the world? How do we respond to that, God? What does that look like? There are some bad things going on in the world, but we also have to recognize this. Others are not our enemy. They're not. Our enemy is not flesh and blood. And this is a really big deal. And I'm not saying that Satan's hiding around every bush. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that we all live and exist in this world, and there are two principalities that are taking place, and there is good and there is evil. And what is behind the evil is evil, not others. It's evil. Paul reminds the church of Ephesus this. He says, we aren't fighting against human enemies, but against rulers, authorities, forces of cosmic darkness, not comic darkness, feels like comic darkness, and spiritual powers of evil in the heavens. We often think it's the person on social media. We think it's the person that judged us. We think it's the person that's doing the injustice to someone else. Our enemy is not against others. It doesn't mean they're not responsible. So this doesn't give a pass to the person who's doing evil things. It just means something else is behind it. Something else is driving it. And listen, this is really important for us to understand. If we choose to perpetuate the cycle of more judgment, we are choosing to participate with the enemy. Not only do we participate with the person, we're participating with the evil that's driving the judgment behind it. So it's like when we decide, I'm just going to give an eye for an eye or a tooth for a tooth, we're not just giving that back to a person, we're locking arms with the enemy. We're giving him more power. Brian says this often, and I need to say it today, okay? Don't hear what I'm not saying, okay? You don't have to keep letting people walk all over you. You don't just let people judge you. You don't just have to take it. You don't participate with it. And I'm not saying that there's not issues, that there's not positions or injustices to push back against or policies that are unimportant. There's things that we need to debate and talk about them and have disagreements with each other. Those things are okay. Here's what I'm saying. We don't have to judge and dehumanize people in the process. And too often, that's what we see going on, right? We see it. We see it. You see it. I see it. I'm a part of it sometimes. You're a part of it sometimes. We don't participate with it. We recognize who the enemy is. It's not other people. It's Satan, the rulers of darkness, the things that are behind it. And we choose to participate with it. We're participating with the person and with the enemy. The culture teaches us to respond to judgment with judgment in a never-ending cycle. It will not end, fueling more and more anger and hate. Jesus invites us to the slow burn of love that's kindled by a commitment to remain in love, even in the midst of judgment. So, we know that judgment perpetuates more judgment. Our enemy is not others. And we know that love is the thing that's going to break the cycle of judgment. Are you ready for one of the hardest things to swallow? Here it is. Change begins with me. Not me. You. And me. Like, whew, glad it's him instead of me. Change begins with me. You ever just sit back and be like, I'm tired of being the one. Change needs to begin with somebody else. I feel that sometimes. But if you're a follower of Jesus, it begins with you. It's the responsibility we carry with that. It's the call that we've leaned into. It's the commitment that we've already made. Change begins with me. Jesus said, how can you say to your brother or sister, let me take the splinter out of your eye when there's a log in yours? You deceive yourself. First, take the log out of your eye, and then you'll see clearly to take the splinter out of your brother or sister's eye. That's how we break the cycle. We surrender to the slow burn of love that's kindled by the commitment to remain in love. By the way, this is already the commitment that you've made. So when Jesus says, take up your cross and follow me, come learn from me how to love like me and live as me, when he says, come do this, and we say yes to that, we're making a commitment to live and love like him. So when he invites us to this slow burn of love, it's that commitment, that's the thing that fuels it, to remain in love even in the midst of judgment. It's just a reminder that when I face this, oh yeah, this is who I am. I'm a follower of Jesus. What do? I remain in love. Well, they're a follower of Jesus too. Shouldn't it start with them? It always starts with you. Always. It's that commitment that keeps us away from hostility. Even when we're being judged, we're invited into a different type of fire. Different than the culture, not rage, but love. And the more that you choose to engage with judgment, the colder your heart will become. And if you let it, judgment, rage, anger will replace love. If you let it. I love these two quotes from Martin Luther King Jr. He said, darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that. He said, I've decided to stick to love. Hate is too great a burden to bear. Isn't that a great quote? Hate is too great a burden to bear. And it's only going to perpetuate more and more hate, and it's not going to solve anything. Listen, the foundation of my relationship with God is built on forgiveness and love. I've shared my story multiple times in here, and you know the things that that I dealt with as a kid, and the anger and the frustration and the hurt that I had for my stepdad and my mom and my dad. If I held on to that and continued to perpetuate that, I couldn't grab on to love. I wouldn't be able to do that. And some things I've learned along the way is it's not just grabbing onto that love one time, it's this continual commitment of saying I surrender to that every single day, every single time. It's not that I am a Christian, it's that I'm a follower of Jesus, and this is what he does, and this is what he calls me to do. And this idea of struggling with judgment, man, I still struggle with this. I still do. One of my biggest struggles is my hidden judgment. So many of you may be like, I don't ever see you respond to judgment on Facebook or out in public. Some of you do. Brian does. Greg does. Heather does. But most of you don't see that kind of response. Just because I don't respond in that way in a public form doesn't mean that my heart doesn't respond that way at times. And it's not that I just keep it hidden. It's actually that I get rid of it, that I begin to learn to respond in some way, and that when I respond to judgment, I notice that and see that and do something different about it because I'm committed to the slow burn of love. The alternative, my heart grows cold. That's not going to happen. Even if I hide it, it still affects my love towards others because I can't judge someone and love them at the same time. So sometimes in order for me to work on this better, there's periods of time where it feels like I'm worse than others. Sometimes I have to separate myself from some of the things that I struggle with more frequently, you know. It's not the solution. Solution isn't go separate yourself from all that stuff. But sometimes there's so many things that we struggle with to be judgy over. There's sometimes I just got to take a break for a period of time. So in January, I'm taking a break from social media because I'm struggling with this in general. Until last week, it was our anniversary, and Heather put a nice little post out there. So many people started commenting on it. I'm like, I probably need to get on social media again and read these comments because it's going to be good for my soul. I know it will. So I got on there, and it was good for my soul. Thank you so much. So many people commented on there. It was great. I didn't like them or say anything back. Sorry about that. But I did like them in spirit, and it was great for my soul. But here's what I noticed so quickly when I saw all those good things, I started scrolling through some other stuff, and it was just no time at all before I started feeling offended. All of a sudden, I noticed I started judging other people that fast. So I had to stop, dislike a bunch of stuff. No, I didn't do that. I had to stop, step back, not respond, and own that, you know what? I am judging. And I had to realize that I had to name this too. It's okay that I disagree. It's okay that these things might even anger me. But I can't respond out of judgment. I can't let it end at like I didn't say anything, but in my heart I judged them. I have to own that I am no better than any of these people here or no better than any of these people on the planet, that God loves us all the same. And I have to own that at times because it resets something in my mind that is true. I'm not trying to trick myself. I'm resetting something in my mind that I firmly and deeply believe. And then I have to own this. If I'm going to change this, it begins with me. And that's a big thing for me to own that, to be able to know that and to see that, because it puts something in action in me and it starts within me, not just not commenting. It starts with something in my core and in my heart. And I think one of the first places for us to see this is to recognize it when we see it. Like we feel it often. Like we know, like when we start to get our feathers ruffled, you know? Or we start to immediately disagree with something, or anger starts to build up inside of us, our body tensens up. Like, we know when we're kind of in that judgmental zone. And I think one of the best things is to step back and to remind yourself what you're committed to. Above any of your thoughts, above any of your opinions, above any of your other things that you are committed to in this world, and there's plenty of good things to be committed to, you're committed to one above all of the other ones. It's the commitment to the slow burn of love. And when you remind yourself of that, something different happens within inside you. You begin to see people in a different way, and then the next thing to do is to say, it begins with me. It begins with me. It's a journey of becoming more and more like Jesus. Judgment is going to face us at some corner, at some time. Step back and remember, it's the commitment to the slow burn of love. It's actually kindled by that commitment. It's not fueled by anger. It's not fueled by righteousness. It's not fueled by any of your other opinions. It's fueled by a commitment to love of following Jesus and to say, it begins with me. So, I want us to practice that a little bit this morning before we go. So I want you to bow your head, close your eyes for a moment. And here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to read through that scripture again. And I want this thought of it begins with me to run through your head. So when you hear words about like don't judge, or you hear an instruction from Jesus about this is what to do next, I want you to think, it begins with me. Don't judge so that you won't be judged. You receive the same judgment that you give out. Whatever you deal out will be dealt to you. That includes love. Why do you see the splinter that's in your brother's or sister's eye, but don't notice the log in your own? How do you say your brother or sister, let me take the splinter out of your eye when there's a log in your own? You deceive yourself. First, take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the splinter out of yours. Listen to this good news, still with your heads bowed. The culture teaches us to respond to judgment with judgment in a never-ending cycle, fueling only more and more anger and hate. Jesus invites us to the slow burn of love that kindles by a commitment to remain in love even in the midst of judgment. And it begins with me. Father, thank you this morning for this reminder, for these encouraging words, for the difficult task to remember the Some of the most difficult things is to do the simple things like you call us to, which is to love others, to see others the way that you see them. Help something to shift in our hearts today, God, as we head out of this place, to break this cycle in our homes, in our communities, in our workplaces, in our schools, wherever we go, that it's going to begin with us. Thank you, Lord. We ask this in your name. Everybody said? Amen. Amen. Amen.